How are you all doing? Good?
Good, good. I'm good. Thank you. I want to share, maybe you guys can read it with me. Go to 2 Peter chapter 1. I need to disclose this before getting into anything. Some of you guys know what it is. Second Peter chapter 1:19 says, "And so we have the prophetic word confirmed, which you do well to heed as a light that shines in a dark place, until the day dawns and the morning star rises in your hearts, knowing that this first, that no prophecy of Scripture is of any private interpretation, for prophecy never came by the will of man, but by holy men of God spoke as they were moved by the Holy Spirit." I just wanted to disclose that nothing, you're going to receive nothing if you just see me as Daniel Ray this afternoon, tonight. That if you just see me as a mere man, it's the words that I have to say. A lot of you know me outside of church. And nothing will be gained unless you see it as God speaking through me. Amen? I find it interesting how when we make certain charges in this church, like for everyone to come up, everyone to raise their hands, everyone to do this or that, there's those of us that really have the look on our face or literally folded arms about things like that. And I don't know if the thought goes through the mind that, Josh is just feeling that right now. It's really not of God. I don't have to worry about it. Well, then throw the Bible out because this was written by man but inspired by God. So how are you guys going to receive anything from me if you just see me as a man right now? If you don't think that maybe God knows that in King's Fire there's a man named Daniel Wright who's going to speak. Let me speak to him today. Let me speak to him this week about what I want to tell my people through him. So I just wanted to solidify that before going on. So, Lord, I just thank you that you do speak to me and you speak to your people, Lord God, and that you use us, Lord. We're not just little robots that just do whatever you say, Lord, but you speak through us and use us, Lord God, that you give us the opportunity, and it's a privilege as our friends in India. They're being used by you to heal people. You could have done it on your own. You could have just zapped them like a lightning bolt from heaven. But, Lord, you have allowed people like Xavier and Sarah to move in the Spirit and for you to heal them as their hands touches their faces and those bodies and just heal them, Lord God. And it's all for your glory, Lord. We just thank you so much. So speak through me tonight. Lord, I take a step back and I let you speak through me. In Jesus' name, amen. So with that, I want to practice what I just preached. I just want you to hear this because I listened to Derek Prince this week, and he read Psalm 139. And there was I've read it a lot, but there was something when he was speaking it kind of over me as I was listening to it. So I'm just praying for the same thing for you guys. So don't turn to it, just listen. In fact, if you could, just close your eyes and bow your head and just listen. O Lord, you have searched me and know me. You know my sitting down and my rising up. You understand my thought afar off. You comprehend my path and my lying down and are acquainted with all my ways. For there is not a word on my tongue, but behold, O Lord, you know it altogether. You have hedged me behind and before. You laid your hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me. It is high. I cannot attain it. Where can I go from your spirit? Where can I flee from your presence? If I ascend into heaven, you're there. If I make my bed in hell, behold, you are there. If I take wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea, even there your hand shall lead me, and your right hand shall hold me. If I say, surely the darkness shall fall on me, even the night shall be light around me. Indeed, the darkness shall not hide from you, but the night shines as the day. The darkness and the light are both alike to you. For you formed my inward parts. You covered me in my mother's womb. I will praise you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are your works, and that my soul knows very well. My frame was not hidden from you when I was made in secret and skillfully wrought in the lowest parts of the earth. Your eyes saw my substance, being yet unformed, and in your book they were all written, the days fashioned for me, when as yet there were none of them. How precious also are your thoughts to me, O God! How great is the sum of them! If I should count them, they would be more than the number of the sand. When I awake, I am still with you. Oh, that you would slay the wicked, O God. Depart from me, therefore, you bloodthirsty men, for they speak against you wickedly. Your enemies take your name in vain. Do I not hate them, O Lord, who hate you? Do I not loathe those who rise up against you? I hate them with perfect hatred. I count them my enemies. So search me, O God. Know my heart. Try me and know my anxieties. And see if there is any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. Amen. I just want to encourage you guys, first of all, I have a long commute to work. It's about an hour and 45 minutes. I bring my iPod with me. For those of us who maybe can't wake earlier than early, so you can have time with the Lord, I have that hour and 45 minutes to listen to something. And I've committed myself to never to listen to anything but the word, worship, or praise in the morning. We should never start our days with anything else. We lose focus. We lose the day. The day is lost if you don't start it with the Lord. I know some of us, we listen to other kinds of music, clean music, so to speak, whatever. Don't start your day with that. Don't start your day with anything else but the Lord. Amen? So I want to talk to you guys today about humility. The Lord spoke to me, and it's something I've always said to myself, humility is simply reality. Every time you hear humility, it's just reality. Think about it. It's the opposite of pride. When you have pride, to be humble is to bring yourself down to where you actually are. Humility. God can't be proud. You know, before the Lord came down as Jesus Christ, before he had his son here walking, the Lord did not know suffering. He didn't experience it till he came down. He didn't know temptation till he came down. One thing the Lord will never know is pride, and that's the original sin, isn't it? That's the sin that Adam and Eve committed. That was the sin of sins. Every sin we commit, lust, stealing, envy, all of that has to do with pride. Everything is sourced out of pride. And the opposite of that is humility. Humility is so important. So I have this vision of humility being in two stages. The first humility is the humility when we have repentance, when we've realized that we've missed the mark. A lot of us in this room, because I know most of you, we've already had that. We've had that humility. We've said, oh, Lord, I love the way Vaughn, you know, reminds us it's repentance toward God. It's just simply saying, I'm not perfect. I messed up. And that's the humility we've all gone through, is that humbling of the fact that we're not perfect and he is. So we've all passed through that. But there's a second humility. The second humility is the humility of the new creation and the new creature in Christ that we are. And I don't know about you, but I struggle with that second humility, because that second humility lifts us up. We're here as Christians. We're here born again, and we're told that the same power that raised Christ from the dead lives in us. Yet I get so nervous thinking about the thought of going out with Brian, don't we all? That's why a lot of us don't show up. But yet the same power that raised Christ from the dead lives in us. I've been sticking to listening to either the word, worship, sermons, anything in the morning. And I've actually, it's pretty amazing, because I never would have listened to people like Keith Green or Jason Upton because of my style of music. You know, I always felt like Keith Green just pretty much cries when he sings, and he doesn't really sing at all. And, you know, I let that rub me the wrong way, and I'd rather listen to something else. But I've actually been listening to him and Jason Upton and people like that, and because behind it, that's I want that to be the cry of my heart. I want to be humble. We're supposed to see everyone else above us. Remember, there was a guy who came to our church, 2 years ago? And that's all his message was about, was that one verse that says, consider everyone above yourself. It's so hard to do. We don't do that. Come on. We see people. We see whether it's poor people, whether it's people in the church doing something wrong. There's so many times where we gauge ourselves above them, where it would be really hard for us to just say, you're better than me, knowing what they've done. So this second part of humility, this second stage of humility, is so important to realize you're a new creature, that old things have passed away. The same spirit that raised Christ from the dead lives in us. Do we believe it? I know it's been said, I think even Vaughn has quoted it, that you know, you can say with boldness that if you're not preaching the gospel, you don't believe it. So are we preaching the gospel? Do we have that second humility that says, the same spirit that raised Christ from the dead lives in me? It was easy, the first part of humility, when we were just sinners, just realizing that, yeah, we've missed the mark. That's pretty easy to be humbled into, It's pretty easy to see that. But the second part of humility, to be humble, is to know that we are the righteousness of Christ. That's humility for us as Christians. When we're not doing that, it's a sin. I was listening to someone posted on Facebook, Keith Green's song about Asleep in the Light. And it just wrecked me. And he just talks about, I've always compared that to when, you know, when you had that smart kid in class, remember that in school? Some of you are still in school. That smart kid in class who always gets A pluses, and then he cries and he whines when he gets an A minus. And you're like, oh my gosh. You're studying hard and you're doing your best just to try and get a C or a B, and this guy's whining because he got an A minus instead of an A plus. And I liken that metaphorically to us as born again, free people, sons of God, who complain about the smallest things in life while people are drowning. We're those A plusers complaining about the A minuses in our life while people can't even pass. They have an F in their life. It's spoken over them. They're just drowning. And we're sitting here feeling sorry for ourselves. And I've been challenged. I've been listening to Leonard Ravenhill, one of the old revivalists, and he's always talking about tears for the lost. I don't have tears for the lost. I want tears for the lost. Because it's when I have tears for the lost, it won't be so hard to walk around with Brian and see myself doing that. It won't be so hard to go to India. I'm going in February. I'm so excited. It's going to be great. Let's go to James. James 1. James 1:22. But be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. For if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like a man observing his natural face in the mirror. For he observes himself, goes away, immediately forgets what kind of man he was. But he who looks into the perfect law of liberty and continues in it and is not a forgetful hearer but a doer of the work, this one will be blessed in what he does. That's why we need to start our days in the word. We need to start our days in worship. Anything you can do to start your day before that work starts, before you clock in, anything to start your day in the word, because we forget it. Think of that song, set your eyes upon Jesus, look full on his wonderful face, and the things of earth will grow strangely dim in the light of his wonder and grace, glory and grace. Flip that around. When you set your eyes upon the world, what fades away? God, Jesus, the same spirit that raised Christ from the dead lives in me. That leaves as soon as you focus on the world. And I can't help it. When I work, I have to focus on the world. I change gas meters in people's homes. Gas, natural gas that's explosive. I have to focus on tightening every nut and bolt and screw and threading. I have to concentrate on the world at times. And what can fade away is Christ. We sing that song, and it's about the opposite. When we set our eyes upon Jesus, suddenly we're lifted up, and all other things fade away. We have to start our day with him, or the day is wasted. We all know about the parable of the talents. We've all been given talents. Don't put it away. I just think about that. It's the same thing here. We're looking in the mirror. If we have to remind ourselves. That's what the mirror is. It's reminding us that you are a new creature in Christ, that I've become a son of God, that, you know... When Amber and I were flying recently to Texas, you go maybe 100 yards in the sky, 200 yards in the sky, before you're even plateauing, and the world gets so small. People get so small. You know, you can do this whole wee-wee-wee and pinch them out. And everything, you know, you're down there. The planes look huge. Buildings are huge. You're in Manhattan. Everything's big and wondrous. You move 100 feet, 100 yards in the air, and everything is so small. Everything is so small. And I think about the Lord, how high he is, how small we are. And yet he has gone through hell. He has gone through the cross for us. And that in that, he desires for us to know that you are a new creature in Christ. The same spirit that raised Christ from the dead lives in you. Why are you walking around like a mere person? Look at the vision I have. God says, look at the vision I have of you. You're so small. From where I sit, you're but a speck. I can't even put a pinprick. I can't even stick it with a pen. If it was an image, it would be 10,000 people for me to touch it. Yet he desired so much to come down on that cross for those small little people and make them godlike. He wants us to have the same spirit that raised Christ from the dead. When he left the earth, he said, I go so that you can do likewise. Jesus didn't want to walk around being the only guy to heal people. He wanted his 12 disciples and all to be doing it. We're all supposed to be doing it. But we don't start with those tears for the lost. We don't remind ourselves that there is a dying world out there. They're drowning. And yet we're the A-plusers complaining about the A-minuses in our life. We need this second humility. We need to humble ourselves upwards to the fact that we're a new creature in Christ, that we can touch people and they can be healed. The faith to know that, just to have a clean conscience, that God, it once and for all, omitted all of our sins, washed them all away, that he doesn't look at them anymore. When we look at them, when we grovel in them, we get that, once again, we focus away from the Lord. We're looking at our sins. All the things of the Lord slowly fade away. So being humble as a Christian is actually to lift yourself up. To become, humility is reality. The reality is you are made perfect. Everything that was given to you the day you were saved was enough. You don't need anymore. You don't have to desire anymore. You don't have to pray for anymore. It's there. And well, how come we're not acting in it? How come it's so hard to get more people to sign up for the prison ministry? How come it's so hard to get more people to help Christine out with the kids? How come we're not doing even the smallest things? I have such a repertoire here. I'm on the worship team. I'm here preaching now. I'm going to India. I'm going with Don tomorrow to a nursing home. I'm going to sing some old songs. I go to the prison with my brother. Yet I still feel like it's not enough. Yet I still feel like I'm not doing anything. Yet I still haven't walked around with him. We need that. Where does that desire fade away? If the gospel is in you, if you believe that you've been saved, if you believe that you were once going to hell, that it was such a long place. I wanted to find a YouTube clip of weeping and gnashing of teeth. If I could find that audio clip of just weeping, I wanted to play it here for 2 minutes and then say, how long did that feel? That probably would feel like forever. Find something. Find an image, a sound of weeping. Listen to it for a minute and see if you don't cringe, if you don't want to just hit stop. And that's what's going to go on forever. That's what we've been saved from. And now we've been saved to his marvelous light. And it doesn't just happen when we die in some sweet place at some sweet time. It happens now. It happened when I was born again back at Trinity Lutheran Church. I was saved during a song. I always, you know, it hit me. My testimony is so much about divorce and the way it wrecks me. And, you try and catch people with how bad it was. It doesn't matter about the divorce. What mattered was God visited me and spoke to me during a song. I felt his presence. I knew there was something more to church, something more to life, and I accepted it. And that's always what I pray for as being a member of the worship team. Everyone's heard me say it. Lord, if nothing else, we just want your presence here. I don't care about the songs we just sung. I don't care about anything else. If nothing else, we just need your sweet presence. That's the only reality we need in this place. It's the only thing we need in our lives. And I hope that it has happened for some of you tonight. If you haven't had that presence of the Lord, if you're here, I don't know who's here, not born again, or who hasn't fully accepted Jesus Christ. If you believe that there is, let me put it this way. If you believe that there is something wrong in the earth, if you believe that things like rape and murder and pedophiles are wrong, then you also believe in what is right. And if you believe in a wrong and a right, where does that wrong and right come from? Where does truth come from? If truth was up to us, that's chaos. My truth can be that I can steal from Chris. Well, that doesn't work. The truth has to come from a source, and the source is God. And when, you know, if you can agree that something's cold, you agree that something's hot. If you believe that there's evil in this world, you believe that there is something good, and that good is God. When he was asked, good teacher, he said, what is good but God alone? There is good in this earth. There is a Savior, and we pray that in this church, every time someone walks into this church, that the presence of the Lord would just be so thick. From even before we start praying in the side room, before the worship, that the presence would just be so thick. And that we would come in and the lost would just feel his presence and just their eyes would be opened. Something's going on here. I was in that church the day I was saved. I was in that church listening to music. Thank God it wasn't music that was, I mean, it's awesome if you feel the presence of God during this stuff. I mean, hallelujah. But you know, the song was I Can Sing Your Love Forever that was being played by Bruce Carlson. Just a man on his guitar. Nothing fancy, nothing complicated. It was the presence. It was a sweet presence. There was something in Bruce's life that was committed to the Lord enough that if no one else was in that room, he was calling upon the Spirit of the Lord. And me walking in without the Spirit knew that something else was in the room. I mean, I don't know about you guys, but I don't need a lot of people in here to feel the presence of the Lord, especially tonight. My spirit man is so huge tonight. He had a duck to get through those doors. I don't know. You know, normally I feel like my spirit man is smaller than me, but today he was huge. I had knots in my throat the whole time during worship. That song, You'll Come. I was talking to Elaine. I just wanted to sing it because I love those words. As surely as the sun will rise, you'll come to us. As certain as your word endures. It just reminds me, I have to wake up every day and listen to the word, hear the word, pray to him, pray in tongues, sing a song, listen to worship. I have to start my day with him or the day is worthless. I mean, does anyone else go through, you know, you end the week and you're like, what did I do this week that was eternal? Monday through Thursday could have not happened. I made money and I spent money. Cool. Pride is so easy to happen. I mean, it's natural. I go to work so that me and Amber and Jubilee can eat, so I can put gas in the car, so we can do it all over again. It's so easy to be prideful, but we're all called to humility, and the humility we're called to as Christians, before we're Christians, the humility is, you've blown it, you've missed the mark, but I did it all for you, receive the gift of life. Now the humility we need to take on is, you're perfect, you're righteous, you're not under the law, you can do all things through Christ, it's all in you, get up and do it. That's humility. Humility is doing good. Humility is not groveling at Jesus' feet anymore. It's not, none of that. Humility as a Christian, the second phase of humility is actually thinking better of yourself, having a clean conscience when you walk through these doors, not worrying about rebuking or anything like that, but knowing that all things done to you, even rebuking, is done in love for the lifting up of the saints, that all discipline at first seems bad but produces fruit. Amen? Let's read Matthew 25. If my words weren't enough, let's use the word. Matthew 25:31. When the Son of Man comes in his glory and all the holy angels with him, he will sit on the throne of his glory. All the nations will be gathered before him, and he will separate one from another. The shepherd divides the sheep from the goats. And he will set the sheep on his right hand and the goats on the left. The king will say to those on his right hand, come, you have blessed, you blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you in the foundation of the world. For I was hungry, and you gave me food. I was thirsty, and you gave me drink, which I need right now. I was a stranger, and you took me in. I was naked, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you visited me. I was in prison and you came to me. I was in India and you visited me there. I was in the nursing home and you took care of me. I was in the children's class and you spoke to me. I was standing there before the worship and you sung to me. I was in church and you prayed for me. I was on the streets and you walked up to me. Then the righteous will answer him saying, Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you or thirsty and give you drink? And the king will answer, surely I say to you, inasmuch as you did it to one of the least of my brethren, you did it to me. You want to bless the Lord, just do something. Forget your call for 1 second and just do something for this church. Just do something in general. I just listed all the things I do. And none of those may be my calling, to go to, you know, to prisons all the time or anything like that. But I do them because I do them to the least. I do it for the Lord. And I know he honors that. And I'll keep doing it until I find out what I'm called to be doing otherwise. And I'll always do that even when I'm doing my calling. 41. Then he will also say to those on his left hand, depart from me, you cursed, into the everlasting fire for the devil and his angels. For I was hungry, and you gave me no food. Thirsty, you gave me no drink. And I was a stranger, you didn't take me in. Naked, you didn't clothe me. Sick and in prison, and you didn't visit me. Then they will answer him, saying, when did we see you hungry? When did we see you sick? And he will answer, surely I say to you, inasmuch as you did not do it to the least of these, you did not do it to me. And these will go away into everlasting punishment, but the righteous into eternal life. That's the opposite of being humble. The opposite of realizing that you're a son of God, that you're righteous, you're holy, that nothing is held against you, all your sin is washed away, is to not feed people, is to not do anything for the Lord. Like, how do we not, when Vaughn says, There's death, there's life. Choose life. I mean, how much clearer can God make it to us? He's equipped us with all the things. It's not that, I'm not here tonight saying you're a sinner for not feeding the sick, for not joining the prison ministry. I'm telling you, be humble and do it. Be lifted up and know that you are righteous, you are perfect, that you are God-like, small g, God-like. You, the uncreated one has created us to be in fellowship with him. Think about it. He's created humanity. Again, when I was in that plane seeing humanity so small, we were created in his image of everything else. I can't stand people that lift up, you know, these people that want to save the earth but support abortion. People that want to save the dogs and the puppies, and like that comedian says, only the cute animals. You don't see save the, you know, ticks. Right? You only see save the tigers and the cute things. But they'll step over humanity. And Jesus and God and all of creation, as small as we look from so far away, monkeys were kind of like them, but not. Monkeys weren't created in the image of God. Dolphins, they're pretty smart. They weren't created in the image of God. There is one thing on that earth. God's looking down on it. There's one thing on that earth that kind of looks, oh, there's one. Oh, there's a billion. There's one thing on that earth that looks like me, that's worth saving, that's worth going down there and experiencing suffering. Our perfect God experienced suffering. Like I said, the only thing the Lord doesn't have and doesn't know is pride. He can never be prideful. Pride, humility is, when we're humble, we're brought to reality. For God to be brought to reality is to be perfect. So you can never know what pride is like. Never be tempted in that way. Only we can. Only we can set ourselves above who we are. But now as Christians, like I said, humility is to lift ourselves up to who we really are. I remember about 2 or 3 years ago, I was talking to my mother, and I said, you know what? When we sin as Christians, when we miss the mark as Christians, we're not being who we are. When we walk the streets, when we do ministry, then we're being who we are. So if you feel like there's a void in your life, if you feel like life's a little eh, it's because you're not being who you are. You're a musician without a guitar. You're a car without wheels. If you feel like there's a void in your life, you're not humble. You're not being humble. You're not acting in the fact that the same spirit that raised Christ from the dead lives in you. Until you perform a miracle with your hands, you're not being who you are. It's kind of a neat thing to think about. I'm not who I am till I do awesome things like that. Isn't that great? You know, something that's very deceiving, and I want to bring it up, I know Josh spoke about this, is the someday mentality. It's still something I struggle with, the whole musician thing in my life. It's been spoken over me. Write music. There's, you know, great things about music. What's his name from Schenectady, or I forget his name right now. He prayed for me, and he said, I see the Lord. There's all these empty CDs on your desk. And he knows I'm a musician in as much as I just did some worship with the whole team. But he said, you know, the Lord's telling you to fill those CDs, write something. I still haven't done it yet. Why haven't I? What am I missing about the same spirit that raised Christ from the dead lives in me that I'm not hearing? What is it for the tears of the lost that I'm not writing the music for? That's scary. I don't want to be a spectator my whole life. When we're spectators, it's like the Lord has implanted us. When you receive, when you're born again, the Lord gives you, metaphorically, let's say, a Dodge Viper. He puts it in your garage. And you see Vaughn driving his Viper up and down the road. You're like, yeah, go for it. And he's going like 150, and it's just awesome. But we can't be spectators. We all have one. You can't sit in the Viper and open the garage door and then just watch Josh go by and Elaine go by and me go by and just be like, woo-hoo! You'd be like Talladega Nights. You'll just be sitting in the car thinking you're going fast. You ain't going anywhere. You need to drive it. The Lord's given us all something so great, the same power. He's called us to be sons and daughters. He's grafting his name upon us. If there's a last name in heaven, it's whatever God's last name is. That's what we have. How dare we not act like his children? How dare we act like someone else? Have you ever been reprimanded in that way? That's not like us. That's not like our family. That's what the Lord's saying. It's not like you to not heal people. It's not like you to not preach the gospel and do the great works of the Lord. It's not like you not to. So be humble and do it. That's it. Why aren't you doing it? Well, I'm letting things distract me in life. I'm focusing on the world, and the things of the Lord are dim. They're falling away. I need tears for the lost. Why haven't I written a million songs yet? It's pathetic. So what does it take to move you? I wrote here to remind myself. Do we desire to burn out like a star in the sky or simply to become exhausted like a candle's flame? That's going to be someday when Vaughn passes away, huh? He's going to burn out like a star in the sky. People are going to be like, whoa, what just happened? What just left? We're all meant to be like that. We're all called to be that way. If you're a son of God living on this earth, there is something. First of all, there is something when you enter this room. Like I said about my spirit man, I don't know about you, but my spirit man was so big today. When I entered this room was full. And I say that in confidence, and I say that in humility. How about that? There's the my message tonight. I came in here, and this room was filled with his presence because my spirit man was taller than the ceiling. He had to lay down and stick his hand in first and crawl in sideways to get in this room as I ran in because my spirit man was so big. So when I leave this earth, there's something that's going to leave with me. That's going up to heaven. Amen? But we all have it. It's not just me. I'm not here being prideful. I'm here being humble. How's that? Amen? You know, I think the Lord speaks to us through preaching, in worship. And then, you know, when we don't listen, the Lord loves us so much that he knocks us off our horse. I don't think I've ever shared this publicly. I've shared this with plenty of people, but never from this point. That the testimony of mine and Amber's relationship. That there were so many sermons, so many people, so many things that tried to steer me in the right way. And then the Lord finally just smacked me. And it just hit me like a load of bricks. You cannot be friends with the opposite sex at all intimately. What do we read? It's best for man not to touch a woman, right? When can you touch a woman? I want to meet that couple that they meet, they fall in love, and they don't even hold hands until that wedding day. How awesome is that? Yeah. Lust is just a strong, strong sin. And I've struggled with it, and I've had victory over it. It's amazing when that your mind can be clean of that. Because, you know, a lot of us, if we've practiced the sin of lust, you do it in action. And if you feel you're getting your healing, you stop that action, then you do it on your own. We all know what I'm talking about. You stop that action, it's still in your head. When you stop it from being in your head, that's freedom. I have that freedom. Amen. It is so easy. C.S. Lewis has a really cool quote. I can't think of the exacts of it, but he talks about how the sin of lust, it's like the world has like lust on a plate and has shown us it for so long, and then they cover it just at the last minute. I forget how it went, but it's so much like that. You walk around in a mall, you watch TV long enough, even if it's a good show, those commercials are sex, 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 sex. Then you wonder why when you put your head down, you're thinking about sex. And it's, you got to stop it. You got to stop letting it come in. What's the verses for lust? Flee from it. That's it. It's best for a man not to touch a woman. All right. That's it. That's how you deal with lust. You know, when I'm at work and I see someone who's good looking, I don't go, oh, she's not good looking. Oh, no, she's ugly. No, Ephesians 5, Philippians 4, I think of things that are true, that are right, that are holy. I think of Jubilee. I think of my wife. How about that? I think of great and wonderful things. And it's quickly, it doesn't get anywhere. It comes in, tempted, boom, gone. It's amazing to live in that freedom. Ugh. Because I know there's so many of us that have battled with lust, and if you're listening to this on the CD, you've gotten as far as you're not touching that woman anymore, but you're touching yourself, and then you battle with that, but now you're still seeing it, and you're still envisioning it all the time. To be free of that, you have no idea what that feels like till you have it, and please desire it and go get it. You have to look away. You have to think on heavenly things. It's in Ephesians, it's in Philippians 4 and Ephesians 5. Whatever things that are true, whatever things that are right, whatever things that are holy, whatever cute little babies that are in the room, think of those things. It's, you know, as a worship team together, Josh and Elaine were in our lives. Me and Amber met on a worship team. And we go to the movies, and it was me and Amber who always made sure we sat next to each other. It was me and Amber who were always in the corner of the room talking. Yet, and that's what I say, you, I'm sorry, but a guy and a girl can't be intimate, close friends. You just can't. It's got to be platonic. It's got to, I can talk to Elaine downstairs in the cafe. We don't talk intimately in a separate room together. Certainly as married people. But as single people, you think there's some, well, this is how I'm going to figure out who she is. We need to get a little closer. No, you don't need to. You can observe plenty without having to do that. That's just lust creeping in, telling you need to do that. You know, you don't all of a sudden appear with one another with your clothes off. You start with a hand, holding hands. You start with a kiss. Then it gets somewhere. Stop it before it even gets to that point. Again, a guy and a girl cannot be close friends. I'm sorry. I've just made that conclusion. Me and Amber fought for that. It was when we said, we were at a purity retreat. Isn't that amazing? And me and Amber said, what is that? You know how you have the person discipling you and you have this person at your side. And I was like, that's Amber. What? Accountability. Yeah, accountability. Not even accountability, but just, kind of like that, but the person beside you. And I said, my peer is Amber. And Amber was like, my peer is Dan. And and it was true. Up until that point, even during that purity conference, we were doing pretty good. It was when we made that declaration that we could be close friends and opposite sex that we slipped, that we were holding hands and we were kissing, but we were just friends. We always made sure we sat next to each other. This happened for 6 years. I'm positive that when Josh starts getting gray hairs, I'm going to be the first four of them. I'll be the reason for the first few of them. So Elaine will never get gray hair because she looks the same all the time. She looks the same age as when I met her. So that's great. So please, I know I'm talking to a lot of youth here because you're all here. Be sensitive to that. Flee from youthful lust. It's going to be such a distraction. And you're not going to be saying, the same power that raised Christ from the dead lives in me. You're going to be saying, the same power that, hey. Come on, distracted. During that time when me and Amber were friends that should have been dating or at least courting or something but weren't, I was asked by Elaine to step down from the worship team for a while. Me and Josh had a good conversation where he kind of told me off. They're good things. I'm still here. I love them. They love me. If this is happening to you in discipleship in this church, it's not a bad thing. You will live. You may even do worship again at some point. Hence, I was up there. Here's something we all need to think about. When you get to heaven, because I don't think many of us think about this seriously enough. Well, God asked, how was your time at King's Fire? When you get to heaven, is he going to be like, so how do you think you did at King's Fire? Will he mention King's Fire? Like I was saying before, the whole reason why I opened with 2 Peter chapter 1, because you'll see me as a mere person saying a mere thing, that yeah, I'm talking about God, but you could write some of it off because this is just Dan who jokes around, farts sometimes. Come on, no, I'm serious. I know I just said another joke. Great. Do we take anything seriously in this life that's natural? Because God is supernatural. Well, there's still a natural part to God. He still has a face. He created us in his image. If he has an image, he has an image. He's going to have a face. We're going to see a face of God someday. In our subconscious, God is supernatural. So everything, when Vaughn says something you don't like, it's just Vaughn. Really? If I'm saying something you don't like, that's just Dan. Really? Then throw out the Bible, because everything in the Bible is written by just a man. Moses, Peter, Paul. Oh, he was a murderer, so screw what he says. Is God going to ask you, how was your time at King's Fire? What did you do there? I think it's going to be amazing to hear the words King's Fire, something we named, something we made up, for God to recognize, honor, respect that, and ask you about it. about a natural thing, something so natural as this church with its walls and what we've created in our ministries. Josh had a great message about investment in this church. One reason we don't care to come here, we don't care to serve. How long have I had that slide with Wally. I've had that slide forever with Wally saying we need more people on projector. I've never had someone call me about it. I've had it there for maybe a year now. It's a natural thing. It's not of God to be up there putting on the projector. You know, putting up words so people can worship the Lord and know what they're singing if they don't know the song. Because we see it as something natural. But will God ask you, how was your time at King's Fire? What did you do there? How was your life like there? How did you serve? You don't care because you have no investment in this church. I have an investment in this church. Heck, I give my tithe to this church. If not a literal investment, I give my time. I'm in part of the ministries. I do care about this church. Naturally, I have an investment there. Part of my equity is here at the church. So I care about if the prison ministry does well. I care about if India goes well. I care about if the evangelism goes well. If you don't care, you may not have an investment in the church, and you may be thinking this church is just natural, that I'm just natural. Well, you need to be humble and realize it's far above that, that I'm far above that, you're far above that. We're all far above natural things. Or what did you read in this book? What did you read, if not that? You know, the revival brought a lot of spiritual wackos. If nothing else, the idea of church. How do you go to a place like India as one of these floaters that I love the way Vaughn talks about them as floaters, people that can't find a home church? Because again, it's just something natural. God doesn't care as long as I pray to him, as long as it's me and him. No, it's about his bride. That's another point I wanted to make. It's so easy to be like, it's all about me and the Lord, my time with the Lord, my pride. There's people that are dying. There's, let alone, there's people in this church that need help. There's kids that need teachers. And we're so, it's me, as long as it's me and the Lord, as long as I'm praying to the Lord, yeah, the tongues thing, I'm doing this and that, I'm doing good because my relationship with the Lord is good. Forget that. You hate his bride. You can't shake the hands with the husband and backhand the bride. Can't backhand the wife. Good luck with that. So if you're not a member of the church, if you're not committed a member of the church, what are you saying about the bride? What are you saying about me? I'm just a natural guy. I'm just whatever. I'm just Dan. But when you have investment in this church, to go back to that point, so you're a spiritual person. You only pray the Lord. You walk outside with the oil and you rub it on the concrete and and you go to India. Forget KFI. I'll go to India, do it myself. You knock on the door of one of those pastors in India. You're like, I'm here. I'm a spiritual person. I can heal the sick. I believe that the same power that raised Christ from the dead lives in me. They'll be like, okay, who are you? Who sent you? Can you blame them? As a member of this church, I'm going to India with a voucher, with a covering, that they know the person there that knows Vaughn. Vaughn can vouch for me that I'm not some nut job going over there. That he's seen me, he's been intimate with me, he knows my life. The elders know my life. That's why discipleship's so important. So how else are you going to be sent out? You going to do it on your own? How great a work can you do on your own in rebellion? Again, this church seems like such a natural thing. It has walls, there's an address, there's a name for it. We've created it, so we somehow think there's no supernatural part to it. But in humility, realize that this is a perfect church. I love the fact I posted it on Facebook. I said, I love that my church makes me feel uncomfortable. Vaughn is like the elbow in my rib. Vaughn has rebuked me in that side room there. Sometime during the revival, I keep backing up into this. Sometime during the revival, he could see my attitude. We had done a lot of my favorite music for a while. And see, this has recently broke on me with listening to Keith Green. We were starting to do music I didn't really like. It's still worship, I admitted that. Just because it's something I don't like doesn't mean it's not of God. I at least had that attitude right. But I didn't want to participate in it. And he rebuked me there in the corner. little to the rib. I'm still here. I'm on the worship team. We're going to be singing a very old song called Can't Stop Praising His Name. And I'm okay with it. That's my elbow. That's Josh's elbow. Oh, okay. I thought it was Elaine's. Yeah. So I'm going to come with my headband on, my shorts cut short, my Keds, and we're going to sing it. I forget where I was going now. Yes, I love feeling uncomfortable at this church. I don't want a church where I feel comfortable. You know, we had a discipleship class. Me and Amber walked into it. Everyone's speaking in tongues. Everyone's praying in tongues. And I walk in, and somehow, this is wrong of anyone to feel, but I felt like I missed it. That everyone was praying in tongues. I was 10 minutes late. If I start walking around praying in tongues, I was a faker because I wasn't in it from the beginning. I don't know why we think things like that. So me, I don't know about Amber, but myself, I looked at the Bible. I was like, oh, do something Christian. You know, don't play what you believe. She's so easy to play with, of course. But let me, Matthew. While everyone's praying in tongues. And then Vaughn says, you know, that rib. He says, if you weren't praying in tongues right now in this meeting, in a special meeting, you were out of order. I wanted to raise my hand and be like, I apologize. You know, I'll be the first to say it because I really should have. And again, it goes back to what I started with 2 Peter chapter 1. It seems so natural. It seems when we call people up and we say, if you feel this, you know, let's raise our hands. We resist it. We write it off as a natural thing. It's not of God. God uses natural people to do supernatural things. Is it so hard to raise your hands to be in agreement with someone else? Does that totally ruin your theology? Would it totally ruin my theology to fake it for the first 5 minutes and speak in tongues and walk around and pretend it for a little while because I feel like, whoa, I walked into this thing, this spirit, and I'm not ready for it. I'm not here for it. So that's why I didn't. Would it be so wrong for me to just join with it because that's what the order of the house is and just keep doing it till it rises up in me? Would it be worth it to do it so that someone else can be encouraged? When we're here as a worship team, we encourage people to come forward. We encourage people to lift their hands. You as a Christian, as a believer, you're saying, well, you know, I'm feeling good right now. Elaine's talking about, you know, lift your hands for, you know, a refreshing. If you, you know, if you had a bad week, just do it anyways. You don't know what the, you know, that may encourage the person next to you who's not even a believer to become a part of it. And you've just ruined it because you just don't care. It's a natural thing that Elaine Ortman came up with, not God, not Jesus Christ. Again, then throw away the Bible because it was written by a man. God inspired, holy men of God, in the Spirit, done in the Spirit. Yeah. Which brings me to, again, starting your day with the Word, starting your day in worship so that you can be in the Spirit for the day. So I'll know what to say if I meet a certain someone and have a divine appointment to bring up something of the Lord. I've started my day with the Lord. I've started my day in the Spirit. Why would the Spirit not be with me once I meet that person and have to say that thing? But if you start your day with, ugh, you drive to work, maybe you listen to loud metal music to wake you up, you started your day wrong. The Spirit is not with you. We need to be in the Spirit. That's what makes everything work, is when we move in the Spirit. Another thing a point Josh has made that's so relevant. There's God in heaven. Jesus came to the earth. But right now he's up in heaven. He's not here right now. That part of the Trinity is not here. It's the Holy Spirit. A lot of churches and a lot of times we focus on God the Father. We pray to God the Father through Jesus Christ, Jesus, salvation, cross. But again, in humility, what about that Holy Spirit he gave you when you were born again? It's in all of us. We were all created, you know, as new creatures in Christ, we're all created in it. It was given to us. The whole idea Vaughn talks about with the baby and its teeth. You don't have to go to the dentist. We don't have to go to the dentist someday and say, Jubilee needs her adult teeth. They're inside of her. They just need to come out. When we were born again, everything pertaining to life and godliness, holiness, righteousness has been implanted into us, and now it's just time to get it out. Humility is being yourself. Healing the sick is being yourself. As a Christian, you're not being yourself if you're not healing people. You're not being yourself if you're not participating in church. If you're not doing anything, you're not being yourself. No wonder you feel like crap. For me, if I'm not writing a song, I feel like crap. I go through the week and I'm like, ugh. If I desired it that much, yes, I would come home and do what I have to do, take out the garbage, eat dinner, do certain things, but I would pave away. I would remove Facebook. I would pull my TV down. I would turn off the PlayStation, and I would make sure that I heard from the Lord, that I would write something down, a melody, a lyric, and bring out that guitar. But I don't. We're too easily distracted. We don't have tears for the lost. We're looking in the mirror and then looking away and getting distracted by the world, and we wonder why we go week after week, and there's always that, I don't know about you, there's that part of the week where you just, what of this week was even worth it? What part of this week was not just an investment for myself, a pride issue? Again, pride is the sin. Every sin is linked to pride. It's what made Adam and Eve fall. It's what brought Satan down from above, is pride. We can't have, you know, in being humble, in realizing that you have Christ in you and you have all things pertaining to life and godliness, we can't let God be a celebrity. You know, these people that hear about, especially if they're musicians, you know so much of their life because it's in their music, right? You know so much about them. You could read so much. You can biography, but you don't know them. If you were to meet them, hi, it's me, it's Dan Ray. Hey, he won't know who I am, whoever that is, Bono or something. If I read everything about him and met him, he wouldn't know me. He's just a celebrity. I know everything about him, but I don't know him. I wrote down the verse. I believe it's in James 2. Do you believe in God? Great. So do the demons, and they shiver. Don't make God a celebrity. Those are the people that go up and say, Lord, Lord, I did things in your name. I even cast out demons. I was being humble on the earth. I did all these things. He'll say, depart from me. I never knew you. Because God was a celebrity. You came to KFI and you watched Dan, Vaughn, Josh, everyone else do their part, play the part, and you didn't do it yourself. And God was just a celebrity over there. You watched everyone else drive the car that they were given when they were born again. Those awesome machines. They brought it out of the garage. They blew the dust off of it, and they went and did it. And God was just a celebrity, and you wondered why. He says, depart from me. I never knew you. Andy Elms has a great message. I just relabeled it on the sermon index so you guys can download it. It's he came and spoke 2 years ago about the secret garden. This kind of touches upon that, what I was just talking about, the spiritual freaks that just think it's all about that. At the same time, we do need that. You need the secret time. You need that secret garden. You need that time with the Lord. And again, it could be something that seems so natural. When I used to live at my parents' house in Montgomery, we have an awesome backyard, an awesome yard around us. There's no cars. There's an airport. It's a private small airport. And you could see so far. And I used to just go outside and just talk to the Lord and look up at the stars. So something that you could see is very natural, kind of setting the mood, giving you the goosebumps. You know, is this really of the Lord? No, that was my secret garden. I don't seem to have one right now, and I need to find one. We all need one. In as much as we need to be a member of a church, to serve, to move in what we've been given, we still need that alone time with the Lord. It sounds like I'm going back against what I was just saying, but what I was just saying is don't just focus on just intimacy with the Lord and never doing anything for him. That's like the betrayal of the kiss from Judas. It's like you kiss the Lord, but then you betray him and let him get murdered on the cross. So great, if you're here and you have great intimacy in the Lord all the time, are you serving his bride or are you shaking the hand of the father and backslapping the wife? Maybe you should listen to Keith Green. I know it sounds like he's crying when he's singing. There's something behind him and his music that's real. Yes. It's not fake. There's so many Christian bands that are just as bad. You might as well be listening to Metallica. So many Christian bands that are so bland. They're coming from such a shallow place. And dare I say, it's so easy to make money because there's almost a shield for criticism in the Christian music world. Who can say a song that says, Jesus is awesome, I love you, Lord, you're the savior of my life? Who can say that's a bad song? Who can say that's a bad guy? At the same time, I'm not going to name my artists because I don't care to, of ones not to listen to, but Keith Green, Chris Tomlin. Chris Tomlin writes some very basic songs. I love it as a guitar player because they're all G, D, and C. His song, How Can I Keep From Singing Your Name? How could I ever say enough? How amazing is your love? How great is our God? Yahweh. Did you ever think about that word, Yahweh? We had to insert vowels to make it pronounceable. Our God is the uncreated one. He's the unpronounceable Father. I painted a verse on my wall at home in my parents' house, Philippians 4, I believe 6 through 7. Let me try and remember it. Be anxious for nothing. Nothing. Pretty much cancels out everything. Be anxious for nothing, but in all things, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, make your prayers known to God, and the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Which surpasses all understanding. I love that, because it's something you can't describe. You can't explain. Surpasses all understanding. How am I going to make you understand the peace of God? With worship, with this church, how are we going to make someone? You can't make someone believe in God. You can't make someone believe that pigs fly. You have to hold their hand and walk them to the Father. The Spirit needs to be in you at all times. We need to start our days right. It's funny because I do harp on the whole divorce thing in my testimony. I'm not even going to explain it. The bigger part of it is that when I walked into that Trinity Church and there was worship going on, I cried for what I thought was no reason. I wasn't thinking about a dead relative or anything. I was just sobbing. And yet there was no thought in my mind, absolutely blank, that would make me cry. It was the Spirit of God. It was the heaviness of that Spirit. That's what made all the difference. If we move in the Spirit when we talk to people, you won't have to convince them. Intellectual people, there's something else about you. There's that spirit man that's bigger than yourself. It's about this far out from your chest. When you get that close to someone, it hits them. And it didn't matter what I said. With my worship, my voice can crack. David can hit the wrong chord. But when we go to prison, we bring the presence of the Lord. That's all I need. All I need is his presence. Because it is so, when it hits you, it is so real. You're born again. Amen. So, I want to call all you guys to humility. Humble yourselves and realize that you are the righteousness of Christ walking on this earth. That you know nothing against yourself. That you walk in righteousness. That the law abides in you. Meaning, whatever you do, it is the law. You're following the law, and the law has been perfected in Christ Jesus, been fulfilled. So it's like if I go 35 miles on the thruway, that's what the law is. If I go 75, that's what the law is, because the law is in me. As creatures in Christ, as new creations, you don't live under the law. You don't break a law and have sin and death. You're free of that in Christ Jesus. The blood of the Lamb has wiped away all of our sins. It's amazing, you know, because I've never, almost never, gone too far with alcohol. But yet there's a time where I can just have one beer in front of someone and it's a sin and it's wrong. And then I can crack one open in front of someone else and it's fine. What is that? It's that the law is fulfilled within me and I know governed, and through the Spirit, I know when to do something and when not to. I know who to eat meat in front of and who not to. You know, the Indians, the cow is a big deal to them, so they don't eat hamburgers. I'm not going to, they shouldn't worry about that. I'm going to bring a hamburger and eat right in front of them. Well, that's a sin. I mean, that's not right. How are you going to talk to them about Jesus when you just offended them? Yet, I'll eat five guys with all of you in this room, and we'll have a good time. How is one a sin and one's not? Well, that's because the law now abides in me. I move by the Spirit, and the Spirit leads me in which way I should go, when to do something, when not to do something, when something is right and when something is wrong. If you're in discipleship, if there's a discipler right now that's telling you you're doing something wrong, you're being a bad boy, and they're slapping you upside the head, praise God, they're doing something in love for you. They're not letting you walk that wide, wide path down to destruction. In that testimony about me and Amber, there was a time I got prayed for by that man, Bruce Carlson, who was playing that sweet worship song that I was saved during. He prayed over me, and I fell in the Spirit. I was slain in the Spirit. I've never really thought about it too much, never saw much of it. It wasn't like with Steve Smith, where it's just part of his ministry, and it's almost expected because that's what happened to him. I did not expect it all. I fell, and it was shortly after that I had a good talk with Josh and was kind of rebuked and told off in a good way. And all that followed it, and it was all God. And I praise God for it. I praise God for my parents' divorce. By the way, they did get remarried, and they're here tonight. And I praise God for all those things, all the trials we go through. We have an opportunity. It's amazing that such a good message came out of such a hokey movie, Evan Almighty. You know, it's not The Passion of the Christ, certainly. You're not meant to, like, weep at the end of, you know, and be saved and born again. But, you know, there's that conversation where God, as Morgan Freeman has with what's-his-name's wife, where he says, when you pray for something, do you think God just gives it to you? He tickles you with patience? Or does he give you an opportunity for patience? When you pray for anything else, does he just give it to you? Does he just enable, you know, turn up the patience meter in me? Or does he give me an opportunity to be patient in the future? God's always doing that for us, to us. Every trial in your life is an opportunity to see the faith in your life. I don't need faith right now for certain things. I don't need faith for gas in my car. I don't need faith for a lot of things in my life. Well, praise God. But at the same time, it really isn't building up my faith. My car always has gas in it. The van always starts. Praise God when that day comes where I need to, probably in India, I need to have faith that God will do something because I don't have the resources right now to do it on my own. Why do miracles happen so much in third world countries and other countries? Because they're desperate. They really don't have the resource natural option. We do. We do in America. And again, just like I was talking about with church, churches seem so natural, they just write it off. But when you don't even have that natural thing, when those trials come and the things that are natural you can't even grab onto, you can only grab to the supernatural. Amen? So in closing, I just want to reiterate, we're all called to humility. And humility is simply being real. Humility, before you were born again, was realizing what's real about you is you're not perfect. He is, thank God, he died on the cross for your sins. And now the reality is, being humble as a Christian is acting in the Spirit and in all that God gave you when you were born again. I don't know if someone can run upstairs, get some music going. It's about that time. Oh, you're going to play, dude? Why not? I think you're pretty good at guitar, so you can handle it. If there's something in you, in any part of this message that says, man, I got to respond to that. And here we go again. I'm going to call you forward. It's a very natural thing. Who is this Dan calling people forward to get prayer for? You know, is this of God? It is if you make it. It is if you have the faith for it. The blind man, Bartimaeus, came up to Jesus, and what did he say? Your faith has healed you. It's your faith when you come up here. If you want tears for the lost, if you want to look in the mirror and see yourself in Christ, the new creation, and not forget it. If you desire that, if you're sick of going week after week and being like, oh, I missed it this week. Nothing I did this week was eternally was worth eternally. You know, the only things in this life that are eternal are relationships. It's the only thing. The relationships we form here at church, the relationships with the lost, the relationships I'll form in India, they're the only things I'm going to see in heaven. My uncle died on his deathbed. My uncle was saved practically on his deathbed. Praise God, because it's that relationship is the only thing that's going to exist in heaven. He's got a relationship with Jesus. He'll be there. He doesn't bring his cars with him. In fact, my uncle didn't have much at all. Talk about a heavy life. He fought in Vietnam, lost a lot of good friends, gave in to drugs, alcohol, lived in a trailer. Proud of my trailer. He lived a pretty tough life. Didn't have the greatest stepfather in the world. Every kind of abuse you can throw at someone, he did. But yet, he ended his life burning like a comet in the sky. My uncle did not go out like a little candle flame blown out by a small wind. He went on to see Jesus Christ, the love of a father. And now I get to see him. There's no weeping and gnashing of teeth for my uncle. There's no weeping and gnashing of teeth for me. And that is such a reality. God created us, again, when he saw us so small. He created us yet in his image. There's a verse that says God had to widen hell for those that don't choose to be with him, that don't choose the Lord. He was never intended to send us to hell. But we choose it. We choose to go the other way. Because when he created us to be eternal beings with him. So you have to go somewhere eternally. What an awesome move of love that God sent angels down with huge swords and guarded the tree of life when Adam and Eve sinned. God did not want us to live forever in sin. He said, stop. Don't let them live forever that way. That's not the way I created them to be. Yet he allows men to fly planes into buildings because he also needs to allow Xavier and Sarah to go preach the gospel in India. You ever think about that? God could either control us into being good or he has to allow us to go one way or the other. He allows such love into our lives because at the same time he allows such hatred to happen. He allows men to choose to fly planes into buildings and believe in other gods and other false idols because he also believes and because he also wants us to choose him and choose life and gain that humility that says, I'm a new creature in Christ. Behold, all the things have passed away. I'm made perfect in you, Lord. And now I am righteous and I am holy. And that the same power that raised Christ from the dead lives in me. That you left earth, gave me your Holy Spirit so I can do what you were doing as your son. Because that was your original intent in creating me. So come on up. If you just want a touch from the Lord, you don't have to be in some deep sin. You don't have to be hating this church. You don't have to be a super spiritual person. You don't have to be anything, but just something. Something about you says, Lord, I just want to show you tonight that I'm responding to something that you've said through that man, through Dan. You've said something to me tonight, and I'm responding to it, Lord. This is not a religious thing. But Lord, your presence is here. Lord, I feel it, and you are calling me to a higher place. Lord, we thank you so much, Lord, for your presence. That you were king above all and that you died even as we were in our sin, Lord God. If there's anyone in this room, I didn't look to see if any of you I don't know, and maybe you didn't even practice the first part of humility. You didn't even say, whoops, I'm not even born again yet. What are you talking about this second humility, about being perfect in Christ? Come on up. Please talk to one of us specifically afterwards. If you got a ton of questions, we'd love to answer them. Jesus is calling us to himself. And he wants everyone, just be who you are. When you sin, when you miss the mark as a Christian with the new creation that lives inside of you, you're not being yourself. You're being someone else. You're putting on the old man. You're putting on an old glove. Stop that. Just be yourself and be perfect. Is that so hard to ask? Be humble and go pray for the sick and heal them already. Move in my spirit. Wake up with me. Talk to me. I want to know how you're doing. Good morning. My mercies are new every morning. I know you had some bad things last night, but I've already died for them 2,000 years ago, so what's the worth? Come, let us go speak to the lost. Let us bless them. I want more people at my dinner table when my bride comes. I just want to pray in closing for those of you that, just for the release, the end of the service. Lord, we just thank you so much for your presence, Lord God. As we said, we're not a religious people, Lord. We're those thirsting for your presence as sons and daughters of the living God, Lord. Let us look in that mirror every morning and see who we are in you, and never let things of God fade away as we think of the earth, but rather we set our eyes upon you, Lord, that we see the fire in your eyes that you have for us, and that fire would burn in us. And it's in Jesus' name we pray.